Well, amen. Thank you. Thank you so very, very, very much. All right. Well, happy Labor Day. It's a little early, but that's the title of my message. Okay? So I give that to you today. Happy Labor Day. The Bible speaks much about labor and the value of labor, the honorableness of labor, and how God evaluates very positively labor. Now, it does say this in Ecclesiastes that the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. And if that be true, I must work very hard, because I enjoy sleep. Now, Ecclesiastes and the book of Proverbs speaks much about labor. But not only in those two books, throughout the Word of God, it speaks of work and of labor and the value of that. And even in the Garden of Eden, before the fall, God gave man work to do. And certainly there will be work for us to do in eternity, beyond just the praise of our Lord. I cannot help but believe God will assign us responsibilities that we will have throughout the universe. Of all of God's creation, everywhere it seems that we will have responsibilities. And that would be a good thing. That would be a good thing. We sing songs about labor. And I looked in our hymnal, and we really don't have in our hymnal. It's a more up-to-date modern hymnal than some are. And so work has pretty much been taken out of it. But the old song says, O land of rest, for thee I sigh. When will the moment come when I shall lay my armor by and rest in peace at home? We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. Then we'll be gathered home. Now, it's not only talking about physical labor as far as working for a living and jobs that we have to do, but it's talking about working for the Lord. But the Word of God speaks much about just work, just the sweat of man's brow. And He said, in the sweat of your brow shall you earn your bread. And that's how you're going to earn a living, is by the sweat of your brow. I was talking with a fellow the other day, and he had been working. I mean, sweat pouring off of him. And I just had to admire him and tell him so. I said, man, you're doing good. You're doing good. Working hard. Working hard. My dad used to say, son, I declare, you're so lazy. Now, I didn't like to work whenever I was a kid. I've enjoyed it a little more as an adult, but I didn't like to work when I was a kid. I think most kids are like that. My dad used to say, a drop of your sweat would cure cancer. I don't think it was a compliment. Labor is good treatment. We have all kinds of manias. Kleptomania. People who take things. The book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8 gives a treatment for that. Now, if you want to turn to it, you can, but we're going to go somewhere else in a minute. In fact, we're going to go to a lot of places in just a little while. But it says, let him that stole steal no more. Now, that's a command. And then it gives the way to stop that. It says, but rather let him labor, working with his hands. Now, that's something to do, but there's a reason to do it that will help in that. That he may have to give. Work, labor, earn, give. That's what needs to happen if somebody has a problem with stealing things. They need to learn to work, labor, earn money. And then give. Give to those that have need. Well, let's look at some things about spiritual labor. First of all, I want you to see this. We must start at this point. You must know that there is the absence, and I want you to see the absence of labor in salvation. The absence of labor in salvation. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Now, who he was talking to? He was talking to Jewish people who were laboring under the instruction of their rabbis and of the scribes and of the Pharisees, who were laboring to fulfill requirements of the law in hope of earning heaven. And Jesus said, "You that are laboring under those compulsions of do this and do that, and how far you can walk on a Sabbath day, and what you can do on the Sabbath day, and how you can perform all of these rules and regulations, not just that were given by God and the Word of God, but all that the rabbis had by interpretation added to them. All of you that are laboring under that." He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In the book of Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this: "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him. It was put to his account." Just like you go down to the bank and you have somebody's bank number, their account number, and you say, "I want to put this in so-and-so's account." Now, there's a little problem with that in this day and time because of all the security methods and the terrorism and everything like that. That's not really allowed. But there was a time that that could be done. And all of a sudden, people would look at their bank account and say, "Whoa, what happened? What happened?" That's what happens whenever by faith you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. There is His work deposited to your account. What a wonderful thing. What saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh. Now this is talking about working for righteousness. Now to him that worketh and tries to do this and accomplish this, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, whenever a person tries to work their way to heaven, they just dig themselves further in the hole. Because our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before God. Him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. It can't be grace if it's worked for. Because grace is a gift. Now, but to him that worketh not, verse 5, Romans 4. But to him that worketh not. What a strange thing to say. But this is about salvation. In a book that talks about labor. In a book that talks about serving God. In a book that talks about physical labor. In a book that says by the sweat of your brow you'll earn your bread. In a book that says that, it says regarding righteousness. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So there's the absence of works. Maybe I better clarify that. There's the absence of our works in salvation. Because there was a work performed for salvation. And if Jesus were to step in this room in His work clothes, He'd have on a crown of thorns. And He'd have a blood-soaked robe. And He'd have a cross on His back. that he would be nailed to and lifted up between the heavens and the earth. And on that cross, he would take up on himself our sins. And he would do the work of suffering for our sins until the work was done. And then he would say, I finished it. It's finished. It's completed. So though I say to you in point one today, there is the absence of works in salvation, I must qualify that by saying there's the absence of our works in salvation. And someone has said, and rightfully so, that grace is free and salvation is a gift. Ah, that's true, but it was bought by someone. Someone paid the price. And for someone to glibly say, oh, well, you believe you can just come and take salvation and salvation is given to you and it's just cheap like that. Oh, my friend, you look at Jesus Christ on the cross, and if you call that cheap, you've got something wrong with your perception. There's the absence of our works in salvation. I want to say to you another thing from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I guess verses 5, 6, and even back up in verse 4. But in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, some of you have been reading through that every day in the month of whatever we just finished. August it was, wasn't it? Today's September 1. Today we're in September, September 1. I want you to see the cooperative labor in soul winning. The cooperative labor in soul winning. Who then is Paul? Let me back up to verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You see, there's a cooperation in this thing. Last night, I was on a conference call with Brother Byron Fox and other pastors who are cooperating in the area-wide meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina. 75 churches working together. 75 churches out knocking on doors. And people from other churches have come. We've had a couple of folks from our church up there knocking on doors. But a total in the city, in the area of Charlotte, not just in the city, but in the suburbs and in the greater Charlotte area, a total as of last night of 218,000 doors have been knocked on, inviting people to come to the crusade, God Bless America crusade, there in the Bojangles Arena, downtown Charlotte, September 11, 12, and 13. Please, please pray for this poor old preacher. What a responsibility. I told the men last night on the phone. I said, I contract with you to pray for me. I said, for those of you that have gone out and knocked those doors and pounded that pavement and had boots on the ground, and for me to come in and preach, I cannot tell you the obligation I feel. I cannot put words to the obligation that I feel to that. And I count on your prayers. On that night, we're going to live stream it, the crusade into this building. If any of you, you can watch it at home, or you can come into the building here and watch it, however you'd like to do. But the building will be open and it will be on live stream. Already among these, and they're out knocking on doors just to invite people. If people aren't home, they have these door hangers that they hang on the door. But in just sort of falling off the tree, 196 people have been saved already. Now, that's a pretty good revival in a place right there. That's a pretty good evangelistic effort. But on that Wednesday night, anticipating 2,000 first responders to be there, wouldn't it be wonderful to have hundreds of them saved that night? Wouldn't that be a good thing? Well, sure, it'd be a good thing. But you know why that happens like that? You know how you put together a 1,000 voice choir? By people working together. Here at Corinth, folks in the church were saying, well, Brother Sears led me to the Lord. Well, Pastor led me to the Lord. Well, Brother Aaron led me to the Lord. Brother Weiss led me to the Lord. Mrs. Schultz. Sorry, Roger. Led me to the Lord. And I'm of this group, and I'm of this group, and I'm of this group. And then, if you read in that passage, you'll find there were some others who were saying, well, I am of Christ. And they weren't saying that out of a humble heart of truth. They were saying it out of spiritual arrogance. They were saying, well, you all want to identify with some man. I identify with Jesus Christ. He's the one that... Well, that's good and that's right, but it ought not to be I identify with Jesus Christ. It ought to be I thank God for the Lord Jesus. What a difference. What a difference. Are you doing something in this cooperative thing of soul winning? Are you planting, watering, reaping? Are you involved in that somewhere? Are you handing out tracts? Are you giving a word? Are you knocking on doors, passing out Bibles? What are you doing? What are you doing in that cooperative effort of bringing folks to the Lord Jesus Christ? Be involved in that somewhere. I come quickly to the third thing that I say to you today. I want you to see the enduring nature of labor in God's service. In final preparations and looking at things and studying things, and what a wonderful day in which we live to study. Whenever you can just Google things and man alive, the things that are available. And I looked and I watched as men on an assembly line. And I think at that point in time, it was in the... It looked like they were building a car. And it looks like the car they were building was somewhere in the early 40s. And or mid-40s after the war, perhaps. But put the same bolt on the same part. Same bolt, same part. Put it down, drill it. Hit the same lick with the same hammer. 8 hours a day. 5 days a week. Go home, enjoy the weekend, come back Monday morning. You don't want to get in one of those cars. You don't want to get a car that was made on early Monday morning. There were things left off of them and not put together good and all that kind of stuff. You could find anything in the doors of those cars. And I thought, the labor. And that thing goes off beautiful. Rolled off the end of the assembly line. And the guys back then, whenever they got in the car to drive them away, they got in suits and tie to drive them off the end of the assembly line and put them out in the parking lot into the storage area until they were transported to the dealers. I mean, it was a big deal. They got in there, and the first time that engine cranked up, and they drove it off. They drove it off like that. And I thought, what a wonderful thing that is. And whenever those guys, even though it was monotonous time after time, many of you have worked on an assembly line, and you know what that is. But to walk outside and to see those beautiful vehicles out there, to see the finished product of what you participated in, to see the finished product. But I thought, that thing roll down the highway, get hit by another car, drive down roads up north where in the wintertime they have salt all over everything and eats it out from the inside out, or down here in Florida from the outside in. The salt down here eats it from the outside in. And I thought how temporary that labor is. How temporary that labor is. Oh, but it's different when it comes to the labor in the Lord's work and in the Lord's harvest. That's why he says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. It's not an empty thing. It's not a futile thing. It's not something that has just passing value. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The other kind is described in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 2. Whenever the prophet asks, and God is asking the people through the prophet, why do you spend your money for that is not bread? And we look around us at the way people deprive themselves of good nutrition in order to have toys that are available today. And they spend their money for that is not bread. And they give their labor for that which satisfieth not. The Lord says, come to me and buy those things that are good and satisfying and uplifting. Work for the Lord, for your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You're going to meet it somewhere after this life is over. You may meet it somewhere in this life. What a joy it is to just out of the blue sometime to walk up and say, you don't know me, but I know you. And I remember whenever you preach somewhere that I don't even remember preaching there. I'm at that point. And they say, in that service that night, you preached such and such a sermon. And I don't even remember that sermon. But they say, God used that to touch my life. And I served the Lord since that night. I've served the Lord. Now I haven't impacted their life except just in that one moment of time. But it was something they remembered. It's something that they remembered just at that brief encounter used in their life for His glory. And to meet that, even here in this life. And then that song that was written a few years ago that says, thank you for giving to the Lord. About the fellow who went to heaven, or the lady that went to heaven. Person comes up and says, I remember whenever you gave the gospel when I was a little boy in that Sunday school class. And that morning, I prayed and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to thank you forgiving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. I think of Mrs. Dye back in West Virginia. Dear old saint of the Lord. She cracked the whip on us. But she gave us the Word of God. She gave us the Word of God. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. She could talk louder than those around her. Because the only thing we had separating, classes was a sheet. I mean, just a bed sheet hung across a wire. And that's where the idea came for what we do over there in the Sunday school room. But we got a little better than a bed sheet. But it's still kind of the one that talks loudest gets to teach everybody over there in that place. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. The Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Others may forget it. Others may not know about it. I hesitate to say this, but I must say, my dear friend, home in glory, Lee Robertson, you go through the Highland Park community of Chattanooga, Tennessee, nobody remembers Lee Robertson. Hardly at all. You go into Decatur, Georgia, where Forest Hills Baptist Church was. In 1972, the fastest growing church in the nation. Nobody remembers Curtis Hudson. Nobody remembers. But somebody remembers. God is not unrighteous. And He will not forget your work in the Lord. And whatever you do, Jesus said to the people there in Matthew chapter 10 verse 42, He said, if you give a cup of cold water in My name, I'll remember that. Now the person you give it to may not remember it, but I'll remember it. And the person you help may not remember that you helped them, but he'll remember. Oh, the enduring quality of our labor in God's service. And I come to a good point now. Choir sang a phrase about it that I repeated after they sang. But there's coming a time of the cessation of labor for God's service. I used to sing this song, gonna lay down my burden down by the riverside. And we're gonna do that. We're gonna do that. And I don't know if it's just gonna be like that and what the picture of all that is. I understand all that, but I like the way it's said. Gonna lay down my burden down by the riverside. Ain't gonna study war no more. We're about to get in another one, aren't we? We're about getting another war. They ain't gonna study war no more. Gonna study war no more. Gonna lay that down. Oh, land of rest for thee I sigh. When will the moment come? Somebody said to me this week, he's here this morning and I'm still not happy with him. Preacher, you're an old man. What are you doing running up and down the highway? Trying to do this and trying to do that and trying to do the other. Why are you doing that? I said, because the young men won't do it. I'm at the point in my life where I'll waller out a nest and sit down and kick back and take it easy. And I'm around young guys all the time that have wallered out a nest and sitting back and taking it easy. There's coming a day of rest. I like to read every once in a while in Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, in those 11 verses, the word rest is used 8 times. And it talks about entering in to the rest. There remaineth, it says in verse 9, there remaineth, Hebrews 4, 9, there remaineth therefore a rest. A rest unto the people of God. We're going to rest for eternity. I don't know how that'll be. I'd like to take about a week of it, but I don't know how that will be. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. Write, the Lord said to John. Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. When my life work is over, and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer. When I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. Can you imagine? Now, I sing that, and I like it, and I think, well, can you imagine the one who penned those words? Fanny Crosby, blind from birth. When my life's work is ended, and I cross the swelling tide, the bright and glorious morning I shall see. Oh! I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side. And His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him. Let us labor for the Master. The last verse of when the roll is called up yonder. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, I'll say, here. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious song of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. So let's just keep on going until He comes or until He takes us home to be with us. If you need to re-enlist, just re-enlist. I said, Becky, this week, I said, think it's about time I retire? She said, what are you going to do? Take a couple weeks off and find something else. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here today and you've been working trying to get yourself to heaven, I would that today the Lord would somehow take away from you every hope of getting yourself there outside the Lord Jesus Christ. And that today you would come and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You would come to that point in your life where you say, I'm through trying to do it myself. I cast my case upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I put it in His hands. And then set out to labor for the Master. Not to earn salvation to go to heaven, but to serve Him because you love Him. I wonder how many here this morning say, Preacher, I do want to serve the Lord with all the days He gives me here on this earth. Would you raise your hand? I want to serve the Lord with all the days He gives me here on this earth. Whenever we stand in a moment, maybe you'd like to not just tell me that. Maybe you'd like to just come and just kneel here at the front and tell Him. You say, well, I don't have to come kneel at the front. Of course not. Of course not. But it might help you remember that commitment to Him. There may be some here today that say, Preacher, I want to serve the Lord here. I want to join in with this effort right here and cooperate with this church as a member in winning souls to the Lord and advancing the kingdom of our God and of serving in this place. If that would be true, in a moment, whenever we stand, and the instruments play, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. However God has spoken to your heart, if you need to trust Christ as your Savior, if you need to come become part of this fellowship, to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, or if you just want to come say to the Lord, Lord, I'm re-upping. I'm re-upping today. I'm going to serve You as long as You give me life and breath. I trust You'll do that.